The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Mick Norton, Chris Pimlott and Gareth Topham in the studio. It's Catterick, Lingfield and Worcester on Wednesday afternoon, Sandown and Leicester in the evening domestically, and there's also racing over in Ireland from Nace on Wednesday evening as well. So six meetings to look forward to, a real blend with all-weather racing, jumps racing and flat racing to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by John Babb. How are you, John?
Hi, how am I? Hi, everyone.
How you been lately, John? Been a while since we've had you in the studio.
Yeah,
all good.
Yeah, all good. Yeah, holidayed out at the moment. Sort of good to be trying to get back into the form book, really. And it's amazing how quickly you sort of lose touch with things. You only have a few weeks off in the middle of the summer, and half the horses have run three times while you've been away. It just gets a bit mind-boggling.
Yeah, you've picked a pretty decent time to come back, though. We've got the King George coming up this weekend, and it's
glorious Goodwood.
Yeah, and it's shaping up to be a cracker this weekend, isn't it? And then the following week gets pretty busy as well. So.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just with regards to the King George, John, just looking through the betting here, Telescope is 2-1 favourite, Tegruda 9-4, 5-1 for Magician, Eagle Top 7s, and has been supplemented now. Macadram is 9s, 12-1 for Flintshire and Trading Leather, and then 20s or bigger prices the rest. The reason I ask, John, is because John Gosden has been pretty, he says excited about his trio for the King George, and when John Gosden's saying things like that, you should listen, really, shouldn't you?
Yeah, so he's intending to run all three then, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'd be obviously excited about the three-year-old filly Tegruda, as everybody would. I mean, she's got the potential to be a very exciting horse, well, she already is, but the way she won at Newmarket earlier in the year, and then obviously the way she's won the Epsom Oaks, I'd like her to win, really, just because she's got the potential to be a champion.
Yeah.
Whereas, I'm not to say the others aren't very good horses, but I don't think they've got the potential to be what this filly is.
Yeah.
And can be.
Yeah, I mean, she's only a three-year-old. I mean, it's a bold decision to send her to the race, isn't it?
Definitely, because, I mean, three-year-olds haven't been going there in great numbers in recent years, and it probably isn't quite the race it used to be years ago, but hopefully this could be where it turns the corner with a filly like this.
Yeah, not many three-year-old fillies have won it either. In the 70s, there were quite a few of them. But since then, there hasn't been any since 1970s. I think...
It was Dahlia and Pawnee, I think
Pawnee's was probably the last one, It's been a while.
Was the last filly, the three-year-old filly that had won the Oaks and the King George.
Yeah. Good stuff. So if I were to ask you, you say you want Tegruda to win, do you think she will?
I wouldn't have a real strong opinion until more close to the race, really. See how the horses are drawn. There's one or two horses, you know, Noble Mission would probably like to get his way out in front. Also, Macadram, you know, not a horse that you'd really want to see drawn too wide. Did have the run of the race round the inside a little bit at Sandown, and not to say he might not get it again here, but until you see how the horses are drawn, how the race is likely to pan out, it's hard to have a firm opinion. But she's done nothing wrong so far. The trip looks right. The ground should be okay. I think she'll take all the beating. Obviously, Paul Hannigan's made the choice as much as I discussed yesterday, whether it's just a team decision because of the weights, really, allowing Dane O'Neill to ride the other one, because he wouldn't be able to ride Tegruda if Paul chose the other one, Macadram, because of the weight situation. So it may well be something to do with that, and I'm sure Paul would have been equally happy riding either of them. But let's hope he's on the right one.
Yeah. Okay, a couple of other news stories just to quickly touch on before we move on to Wednesday's racing. Tiggy Wiggy was an impressive winner at the weekend, John.
I did some old my tapes and that from the weekend, and Tiggy Wiggy, I could not believe the time performance for that horse for a two-year-old. Sensational. I think it's officially gone to around about 100. I heard it being mooted 116. I can check while we're talking, but
yeah.
I actually thought the horse was worthy of 120. And it's quite an amazing figure. But that she doesn't look that big. And obviously, you know, they'll keep campaigning away and may well be Breeders' Cup material at the end of the year. But whether she'd be able to go on, she's gone to 117 officially. And really, when you look at actually the bare figures on Saturday, she was actually going away at the finish as well. It was an incredible performance. I think she's well worth 117 on that.
Yeah. If she was yours, would you go Nunthorpe, or would you? I mean, considering the Abbey now, so.
Well, the thing is, the Nunthorpe, you're likely to get the similar ground to what you got at Newbury. I think if you wait for the Abbey, I mean, you're talking October, she may have gone in a coach, she may have gone over the top, the ground might be boggy, anything could happen. To be honest, if she's fitting well in 3 weeks' time, I'd go again.
Okay.
I think it'd be a really exciting prospect as well to see a flying two-year-old like that on a track that should suit her as well.
Yeah, strike while the iron is hot. Yeah. Hossard Keynes, another horse that's going to run at the weekend. He's in the international handicap. Saw him look unlucky at Royal Ascot when left with quite a lot to do by Jamie Spencer. Currently 8-1 at the top of the betting. Do you think a bit of compensation could be in the offing for Roger Varian's runner? I mean, it's wide open, isn't it? 8-1 favourite.
Again, that's another race where you really want to be seeing the draw before. Yeah. I couldn't entertain betting that race. Normally, I'd be thinking if the weather stays quite dry and it's quite quick, I'd be expecting the stand side to be. But again, a lot depends on where the pace is. I couldn't contemplate a bet before the day.
Yeah, wait and see. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's move on. Wednesday's racing is fast approaching, and we're going to get John's selections on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, John's picked out three races for us, starting in the 2 o'clock at Lingfield. We start here with a maiden auction stakes over 7 furlongs for two-year-olds. 9 of them in the lineup here, John. Nearly all of them have had at least one outing, apart from Edge of Heaven down at the bottom there. But quite a tricky start. What's made you pick this one?
Well, just a horse that caught the eye on debut, and it's going to be going a little bit against the grain, and it'll feel a bit bad if David Evans' horse Banished to Bob Bell wins, who ran well enough around this track and has got a reasonable draw and got Adam Kirby on at Lingfield, so there's plenty going for Banished to Bell. But I do think it was a pretty weak race where the horse finished second round this track. And I quite like the horse who's only had the one run there, Somo, from Dennis Coakley's yard. Getting quite a bit of weight with this in this maiden auction affair. And another £5 with a very useful Cameron Hardy taking another £5 off for his apprentice allowance. Drawn next to each other. Somo shaped very well over 7 furlongs on the grass, now coming onto the all-weather surface. By a sire called Mowathek, I don't think it'll have any problems going onto the all-weather surface. If it builds on that, I just think this horse will get the better of David Evans' horse in receipt of what will be basically £14 with the apprentice allowance. I think it'll be quite a big ask for David Evans' horse to hold that one off.
Okay.
So Somo, a shape well on debut for Dennis Coakley. I'll take that one to get the opener tomorrow.
Okay, Somo then in the 2 o'clock at Lingfield. We go to Catterick for the next race, the 4:20 there. It's a class 4 handicap over 5 furlongs, part of the Yorkshire Racing Summer Festival. It's for three-year-olds and older, 9 of them in the lineup here, and quite an interesting race. You've got the likes of Megalika, who's been prolific this season, Cruise to the Limit, has started to run back into form. Mutafakir comes in winning form as well. Quite an interesting race here, John.
Yeah, it's probably the race of the afternoon, to be honest. I know we've got a decent meeting at Sandown in the evening, but this is probably the best race of the afternoon. And to be honest, another one where I'm going to go against a horse I really like. I like Megalika. I think she's a terrific filly, and she goes really well for Tim Clark as well. She's in decent form. Tim Clark missed the ride last time, and Robert Tart took over. Tim's back on again today. She's £3 higher than when she's finished second in the last two visits, and it's going to be her third run in 2 weeks. And a horse that's probably may just be a bit fresher, but did only ran 5 days ago, but came home really well at Haydock. Ian Williams' charge cruised to the limit. And eye-catching booking again of Graham Lee, man to be followed really in any type of racing, whether it's 5 furlongs up to 2.5 miles and whatever. It all comes alike. And Cruise to the Limit was unlucky not quite to get up there at Haydock just the other day. Again, this one's due to go up £2 from the weekend, so technically well in, and probably wouldn't have any problem taking a quick race back-to-back for me, this horse. I can easily see the two of them fighting out the finish. Let's just hope I've gone the right way, because I'm going to go with Cruz to the Limit from the Ian Williams Yard.
Okay, Cruz to the Limit, and the selection in the 4:20 at Catterick. Then in the final race we're going to look at is the 5:45 at Leicester, a class 6 handicap over 7 furlongs for 4-year-olds and older, and it's for novice amateur riders. So it's a race I normally shy away from, this job.
Yeah, well, that funny enough, that's what drew me to it. When I saw novice amateur riders, I thought, oh, better have a look at this race. And I start looking down, there's some really, really inexperienced riders in here, and there's one or two that, you know, are going to probably struggle to ever ride a winner, and one or two that are okay but still need plenty more experience. But the one jockey that stands out like a beacon on this, really, who's come to the fore and looks every inch a decent jockey already, is Megan Nichols. So already ridden up, I think, 3 winners from, you know, basically a dozen or so rides. And she's riding a horse called High on the Hog from Mark Brisbane's yard. Now, this would be a pretty decent bet for me if the ground had definitely, you know, was soft or on the soft, had a bit of give in it. But the second that this horse put in behind Botanist earlier in the year, when there was give in the ground on the 7 furlongs on this track, is probably the best bit of form this season in the race. And you've got the best jockey. The stable runners, without for what they've got, they're going okay. And obviously, Mark's gone out of his way to make sure he's got the decent jockey for the horse here. He's found a real weak race for High on the Hog. He's only ever won the one race before at Brighton, and could easily follow up here for me in what is probably the worst race of the day. but he's got the best jockey and got track form to boot. I'm going to take High on the Hog and Megan Nichols to get home tomorrow.
Okay, take that and hope for a bit of rain then as well. Yeah?
Well, if there was a bit of rain, I'll definitely be, you know, I'll probably be pressing up a little bit and having a bit more on for sure. I don't know what the forecast is around the Leicester area, but let's hope they get a thunder shower.
Fair enough. Right, good stuff. Let's have a quick summary, John, if you'll spin us through your 3 selections for Wednesday one more time.
Yeah, we'll kick off with the first race of the afternoon tomorrow at Lingfield on the all-weather surface, and we're going to go with Dennis Coakley's horse, So More. And then we're going to go over to Catterick, middle of the card there, 4:20, best race of the afternoon, 5 furlong sprint, and we're going with Ian Williams' charge, Cruise to the Limit. And then we start the evening racing off at 5:45 at Leicester, and we're going to go with Mark Brisbane's horse, High on the Hog.
Okay, good stuff, John. Thank you very much. Enjoy it on Wednesday. So there you go, the thoughts of John Babb on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Mick Norton, Chris Pimlott and Gareth Topham in the studio. Catterick, Lingfield and Worcester are the afternoon meetings. We have Sandown and Leicester in the evening, and there's also evening action over in Ireland from Nace, so plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.